What is the future of the Jewish people? What does the Bible say about the Jews and the end of time? Does the Bible say that anything special or unusual will happen with the Jewish people toward the end of time? These are some of the questions that we're looking at. We're talking about the end of time. And since so many ideas about the end of time involve the Jewish people, we're looking at this particular aspect of this subject in these lessons. Now, our study today will be based on the book of Romans. So let me encourage you right now to open your Bible to the book of Romans, because we're going to be looking at several passages about the Jewish people in the book of Romans. In the New Testament, there are certain books that emphasize the Jewish people and that address certain questions about the Israelite nation. One of those books is the book of Romans. When you want to look at the Jewish people and the relationship of Israel to God in the New Testament, the book of Romans is definitely one of those books. Another one of those books would be the book of Hebrews, which we're going to spend some time in as well. And then another book that we won't spend quite as much time in is the book of Galatians. And what you have to remember, of course, is that there is a background to these books. And that is that there were people in the church who were Jews. They had a Jewish background and they had been baptized, they had become Christians, but they didn't want to let go of their Jewish ways. They did not want to surrender their Jewish beliefs. They didn't want to say that the law of Moses had been done away with. And so they tried to say that you had to keep the law of Moses to be saved, and they tried to bind that law on Gentile members of the church. Now, this caused a lot of trouble in the early church. And this is why you have some of these letters written in the New Testament about this issue. Now, when we come to the book of Romans, we're going to look first of all at Romans 1, verse 16. The book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, this is a passage of Scripture which not only is an introduction to the whole book, but it's actually the theme of the book. The theme of this book, the book of Romans, is salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ for everyone, Jew or Gentile. The gospel of Christ is the only way that man can be saved from his sins. Now, of course, the theme of the whole Bible is salvation from sin. And every book of the Bible is related to that or connected to that theme in some way. But there are some books of the Bible that make a special point to talk about the subject of salvation, and the book of Romans is one of those books. So Paul starts out in the very opening words of this book saying that the gospel of Christ is God's power to save. The blood of Jesus Christ that is taught in the gospel of Jesus Christ that must be believed, that must be obeyed, is the way of salvation. Now notice that Paul says that the gospel is God's power to save everyone that believes, the Jew first, and also to the Greek, that is, the non-Jew. So in the very opening words of this book, Paul says that the only way that a Jew can be saved is through the gospel. And the only way that a Gentile can be saved is through the gospel. God does not have one plan for saving the Jews and another plan for saving the Gentiles. God is not going to save the Jews any differently than he saves the Gentiles. If either one of them is to be saved, he must be saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's, of course, true today. If any man is going to be saved from sin, there is only one way to do that. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." John 14, verse 6. Now, when you talk to people about being saved and the need to be saved, one of the first things that you have to do, which Paul felt it a need to do in his time as well, is to show people that they do need to be saved, that they are in sin, and that they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can talk to people about Jesus, you can talk to people about the Bible and about heaven and hell all day, but until people apply the truth to their lives, until they're honest with themselves and they see their own sinfulness, they're not going to be motivated to do anything about it. And so the first thing that Paul does is to show the Gentiles were in sin. And so in Romans 1, just after this, just after he said in verse 16 that the gospel is God's power to save both the Jew and the Gentile, he begins in Romans 1, verse 18, and goes all the way through the rest of the chapter and shows that the Gentiles really needed saving. He talks about their sins. He says they could know from the creation itself that God existed, but they had turned from God, and there was no excuse for this. They had turned to idolatry. They had become homosexuals. They were filled with all kinds of unrighteousness and many other sins that he describes in Romans chapter 1. Now, why is he doing that? He is telling these Gentile people, he is showing the Gentile world that they were in sin and that they needed the gospel. The only way that they could have any hope was through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now then, when you come to Romans chapter 2, he turns his attention to the Jews. And he says to the Jews, basically, in Romans chapter 2, that they had looked at the Gentiles and oftentimes looked down upon the Gentiles, and they were quick to admit that the Gentiles were sinners. But Paul turns to those Jews in Romans chapter 2, and he says, you're no better off. In Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, he says that you look at other people and you accuse them, but you're doing the same things. That means that they accuse the Gentiles of sinning, and yet these Jews had the law of Moses, and they broke it, and they sinned against God. So he says, you're not in any better situation than they are. You need the gospel just the same as they do. Those Jews in the first century in Paul's day were guilty of something that is all too common in human beings. And that is, human beings are really quick to see that others are wrong, but they're really slow to admit that they're wrong. Now, in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul says there's no excuse for that kind of activity. And then in Romans 2, beginning in verse 6, he talks about the judgment of God. Now, notice what he says in Romans 2, beginning in verse 6. He says, who, that is God, will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. Now that last verse, Romans 2:11, where the King James Version says there is no respect of persons with God, that simply means that there is no partiality with God. God is not partial to the Jews. He's not partial to the Gentiles. God is an impartial God. Now this is what Peter was talking about when he went to the house of Cornelius in Acts 10, 34 and 35, he said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, that is, God is not partial, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. Now, Paul is talking about the same thing in Romans chapter 2. And he says, at the great judgment day, the Jews and Gentiles both will be judged. Now then, let's go on down to Romans chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 28 and 29. And here, we want to raise the question, does being a Jew in God's sight, and by being a Jew, I mean that one has been born of Jewish ancestry. He is a Jew in the flesh. Physically speaking, he's a Jew or an Israelite. Does that give a person any favored status in the sight of God? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. Paul said, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Paul said, if you want to talk about a true Jew, if you want to talk about a real Jew in God's sight, then don't talk about the outside, don't talk about the flesh. You see, these Jews prided themselves in the fact that they were the descendants of Abraham. Now, John the Baptist had already warned the Jewish leaders years before this that they could not base their relationship to God on the simple fact that they were the fleshly descendants of Abraham. He said in Matthew 3, verse 9, "Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham." Now, in the book of Romans, Paul is somewhat still dealing with this problem, because some of these Jews thought that just because of their ancestry, that they had a special favored status with God. And Paul is trying to tell these people that just because you are a physical descendant of Abraham does not make you right in the sight of God. So this is very important teaching that we're looking at in Romans 2. Now then, let's go to Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, Paul is anticipating a question here from Jews. And so in Romans 3, verse 1, he raises this question, "What advantage then has the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision?" He's looking at these Jews, and he knows that what they're going to say to him is, "Well, what good is it then to be a Jew? What good is it to be circumcised if you're saying that the outward part doesn't make any difference?" Well, Paul says in verse 2, "Much every way, you did have many advantages as Jewish people, chiefly that because unto them, that is, unto the Jews, were committed the oracles of God." The Jews had that written code, the written law of Moses, which the Gentiles did not have as a people. And so as you continue down through Romans chapter 3, I want you to look at what the Bible says in verse 9. He says, "What then? Are we, that is, we Jews, better than they, that is, Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." And then in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, he says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now tie these things together. In Romans chapter 1, Paul said that the gospel is God's power to save both Jew and Gentile. In Romans 1, he showed that the Gentiles were lost. In Romans chapter 2 and in Romans chapter 3, he has shown that the Jews are lost and need the gospel. Now then, let's turn to Romans chapter 10 to see again that the Jews needed salvation, they needed the gospel. It was not enough for them to be right in the sight of God simply because they were physical Jews, Jews in the flesh. That did not make them right in the sight of God. And so in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now you see, when people today insinuate that the Jews are still God's chosen people, and by the way that they talk, they leave the impression, if not the distinct idea or implication, that just being a Jew means that a Jew is going to be saved regardless and that all Jews will be saved, either now or sometime in the future, that kind of thinking, folks, goes directly against these verses. Paul said that his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And notice what he says again in Romans 10, verse 12. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek." Now let's repeat those words. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 12, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Paul says that he did not put the Jews in one category and the Gentiles in another. Paul said that the Jews and the Gentiles both need the gospel because both have sinned. Paul said that the only way that either one of them can be saved is by the gospel. And Paul said that both Jews and Gentiles are going to be in the judgment judged by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what the book of Romans and the entire New Testament tell us about the current condition and the future state of the Israelite people.